so you can know what to look forward to. And look for WUSB Concert Billboard Group on Facebook for any last-minute shows. The WUSB Concert Billboard is a service of WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 FM. Please give generously to WUSB, either at WUSB.FM online or by calling 631-632-6901. Thank you for your support.
It's 2 minutes after 6 o'clock. Time once again for another exciting edition of Off the Wall. Stand by. We have a special weather alert to issue to our listeners. If you're in the listening area, please stand by. We're preparing it right now. Special weather alert. Don't go anywhere. And, okay, here we are. This is Manuel, and joined tonight by Kyle. How you doing?
Hi there.
Hi, how are you? Yep. We got to get through this pretty quickly because it's important. It's urgent. Now, here's the thing, folks. It's not bad news, okay? Bad news is always what people try to alert you to, and it shouldn't always be bad news. Sometimes good news is something you should interrupt programming for.
Absolutely.
And can you make the emergency alert service tones with your mouth, you know, where they interrupt programming, and it's like a weather alert? Can't do that?
No.
Kyle, really? Well, it sounds like a fax machine, sort of, that would basically alert you that we mean business, that we're talking about something that's actually happening outside right now, or very soon, anyway. It's predicted. It's going to be happening in the next hour, and hour and about 20 minutes. A little less than that, a little less than an hour and 20 minutes. So those of you who are listening in the area... Yeah, I turned down the music because this is important, all right? People listen to you more when you turn down the music. If you're in the area, the listening area, and you're listening live, 6 minutes after 6 o'clock right now, November 1st, 2011, all right? If you're listening and you're in the area, then you can see history. You can, well, not history so much, but just something really, really cool. It happens quite a bit, but the sky is perfect tonight, isn't it?
Yeah, it's clear.
Turn the music back up. Okay, there we go. It's so clear, I mean, you could see... anything that's there in the sky. And what's going to be there at 7:23?
I know.
All right, Kyle. Since you're the only one in the room and you happen to know the answer, I will call on you. What is going to be visible at 7:23 p.m. tonight in the Long Island skies?
Chongyang one.
No.
Right? The Chinese space station, right?
No. That's... No. That one...
Wait. You said... But...
No. You got it wrong. This is not the Chinese space station. That
but
one...
But everybody in the world's talking about that.
No. Everyone except the U.S. is talking about that. True. And it's a lot smaller than the space station we're familiar with. And it's only visible, apparently, at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm not sure why. I have a question about that, too, which I'll ask in a second. But this is ISS, the International Space Station.
All right, that makes more sense. Okay.
Did you really think it was the Chinese one that I was chasing all this time?
No, yeah. I was just messing with you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I didn't think. All right, anyway. this happens every maybe once a week or so. It's bright. In this particular case, it's going to be bright. The sky is crystal clear, and this is what we'd like for our Long Island listeners to do. At 23, of course, Finn is going to be on the radio. We know this. You can bring a portable radio with you, or you can turn it up really, really loud and just go outside. But there is no reason for you not to do this, as far as I can tell, unless you're operating heavy machinery or something.
It's easy to do, too.
It's so easy. It will never be easier than this. 23 minutes after the hour, after 7, not this hour, the next hour, you simply run outside, and you look into the northwest part of the sky. I can't help you figure out which way is north, which way... If you see the moon, okay, you will see the moon, because it's kind of like a first quarter. The direction that the moon is pointing towards, that the lit part is pointing towards, that's west, because the sun that has just set is lighting it. So that'll be west if you're looking at. And to the right of west is north. So if you sort of look between those two areas, that is where the space station will begin to be seen. But then it's going to be moving to north-northeast, that area, and it's going to rise pretty high in the sky. It's going to start at about 10 degrees off the ground, and it's going to get to about 58 degrees up in the sky. So it'll be up pretty high. Now, Kyle, maybe you could describe what it will look like to people. First of all, it's going to be very, very bright.
Oh, wow.
It'll be the brightest object in the sky next to the moon and any airplanes. It will look like an airplane, maybe, but it'll be very bright.
Did you already say the magnitude? I don't know if people know what magnitude is, but...
It's kind of complicated to explain magnitude, but the magnitude is minus 3.2.
Okay, so it goes positive to negative. It's kind of like pH, if you know what pH is.
You can see positive magnitudes. A fairly dim star visible to the naked eye would probably be magnitude of 2 or something.
But a negative magnitude is very, very bright.
Yeah, the brightest star in the sky is probably about that.
Right.
Sirius or the planet Jupiter, perhaps.
Yeah.
But, so people are looking for this. What might they see?
Okay, so what you'll see at 10 degrees, so very low in the sky, when you look in the direction that E described, you'll start to see... something track, and it doesn't look like a plane because it doesn't have strobes, and it's not very, very. It moves in a different way than an airplane, and it'll start to rise in the sky, and get closer and closer to this maximum brightness of negative 3.2, and it will sort of appear, and then you'll begin to be able to follow it as it's rising. And for about 3 minutes, you'll see it track across the sky until it hits its maximum altitude, and then ends about 3 or 4 minutes later. And you'll be able to see it as long as you can. It kind of disappears over the atmosphere. It'll look like it's arcing up, and then it'll sort of go straight. Oftentimes it seems like it just goes off straight, and you can see it, and then it'll sort of flicker a little bit, and then it'll be very hard to see, and then it goes away.
It's kind of like an airplane, but it moves wrong. It's hard to describe, but it doesn't move the way an airplane should move. It kind of goes sideways a little bit, and
it does wobble sometimes,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's really kind of weird.
And it's very smooth tracking, and... Yeah, it's not like a shooting star or like a meteor or some other kind of object like that. It is in an orbit, so it's a very smooth arc that it forms in it. It's very constant speed, and it's slow. It's like it takes 3 minutes to cross from your left to the right across the sky. So obviously, like an asteroid or meteor or something like that is going to fly by in a flicker. So this is a little bit different and should be very, very easy for you to spot. Take your kids, take your grandma, take everybody out and try to see if you can watch it. It's kind of a fun shared experience. And just imagine what's up there. An enormous machine. bigger than or roughly the size of a football field, and is the most expensive man-made object ever.
That's right. It really is something that... Well, does war count as a man-made object? I guess not.
No.
Because that would be more expensive. But yeah, this is what I consider to be a good expenditure, because there's all kinds of science going on, exploration, things like that. And yeah, we can get into the whole discussion about spending money on better things. Let's get into that discussion involving war and military spending before we get into the discussion involving science and education. But anyway, I've been doing some research while you've been talking, Kyle, and I realize now that this, we're saying people in the local area, this actually will be visible to everybody in the country, provided that the sun is down. So I just looked up Chicago, and it will be visible in Chicago at 20 minutes after the hour. But the magnitude will be a little bit less. It'll be minus 2.1. It won't be quite as bright.
Still, that's pretty bright.
Yeah, and it'll be starting in the northwest sky and setting in the east. Not quite as high. So different parts of the country you can see in different ways. But it's always visible someplace at some time.
Yeah.
Even if you're in California and the sun is still up, you'll be able to see this. Maybe not tonight, but at some point. Here's how you do it. You go to a website called heavensabove.com. That's heavens with a dash, H-E-A-V-E-N-S hyphen above.com. And what you do is you go to the part where it says to basically enter your under configuration, select from database. And what you do is you click on database, and then you select your country, which would be, I assume, the United States, but it could be other countries too. And then from there, you type in your city, and then you save that information, and you're brought back to the main page where you can look for satellites that are visible to the human eye. You can look for just the ISS. You can look for various other specific objects.
Secret space planes.
And one of the coolest sites ever. But anyway, the point is, in about an hour and 10 minutes, people here will be able to see it, and it'll be really, really bright, and the sky is beautiful tonight.
And as you're watching, just think that there's people up there.
Mm-hmm.
There's people up there living, they're doing science. It's a really amazing spectacle, and to think that there are other human beings up there 200 miles from Earth. I think they just got a supply ship from a Soyuz supply ship was just sent up there. Really amazing stuff.
Yeah, it's incredible things you can see in the sky if you just take a little bit of an interest and look. And we keep seeing this. You spotted it in Warsaw. We were walking around in the city. And
at a rock concert.
And you point up to the sky and say, look, at the space station. And of course, we were the only people there that recognized it, by the way, it was moving. And we looked it up later, and sure enough, it was visible at just that time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's magic, the things that you can see in the sky. And of course, shooting stars and all kinds of other neat objects are up there. Anyway, it's an hour and 10 minutes from now. Go check it out. And if you do, if this is something that you're excited about, that you're looking forward to doing as a result of us speaking to you about it tonight, please give a thought to keeping this place going by supporting the radio station during its fun drive. Now, we're not going to be on next week. And, Kyle, this is your last show for a while because you're heading back to Seattle.
Yes.
It make us all feel really good to have a strong showing tonight. We're offering the same things we offered last week as far as premiums. Our phone number is 631-632-9872. We exist to share ideas, thoughts, information. I think we're giving a good example of that tonight just by talking about this. It's something that we're here for, what community radio is all about. Ask yourself, listening to those commercial stations, how many of them would have told you about something really cool happening in the sky tonight that you can take part in? Well, it's just one way that we give back to our audience. Now, here's another way. We have a special package for $75. You get the keynote package of the Hackers on Planet Earth conference. That includes everybody who's ever spoken at the Hackers on Planet Earth conferences as a keynote or featured speaker, and I think it's about 18 talks or so. And you also get an autographed copy of the brand new Hacker Calendar. 631-632-9872 is our telephone number. And for $125, you know, I don't have it written in front of me. For $125, what was it? It was another another bunch of DVDs. No, it was that's what it was. It was the Off the Hook.
Off the Hook. Yeah.
Yeah, I should write these things down. It was the Off the Hook DVD compilation of every program that that radio show has done since 1988 until the end of 2010.
And this is really unique stuff. The radio show in of itself is a really unique program on the other station. We're happy to share that with you. And also the videos are something that have never been seen before. And these are broadcast quality.
Except
DVDs.
By the people in the room.
Yeah.
They saw it. They saw it. The people who were there saw it.
Right, absolutely.
But
right.
Since then, a lot of them have not been released.
A lot of them were on tape. They were on mini-DV. They're on all kinds of different formats. We wrangled them together. We're really excited to share this. It's sort of a sneak peek at some much bigger archiving that we've been working on, really excited about. So those two items, plus I believe you mentioned the calendar. Is that
the Hacker Calendar,
absolutely.
which covers the year 2012, and has basically a designation for almost every day of the year as to what happened in hacker history on that day. And plus pictures by Kyle and our cover artist, Dave. Every single month has something really incredible involving telephony, and it's something you'll be proud to hang on your wall for the entire year and to hold on to for many, many years to come, because it's a bit of history in and of itself. 631-632-9872. Again, we have 75 and 125 pledge levels. We had strong showings last week and the week before that, so this is our last week before, next week there's a blues marathon, so we're not going to be on next week, so this could be the last chance for you to get this package. We offered it once before on the other radio station, and it went like mad, and there's a limit to how many of these things we can print, because our machines will start breaking at some point. 631-632-9872. What I'm going to do right now is play one of the excerpts from one of the 18 keynote/featured speakers from the Hackers on Planet Earth series. This is a name that might be familiar to some of you in the computer world, Richard Stallman.
Oh, wow. I remember this talk.
Do you remember this talk? You want to describe it for the listeners?
It was sort of gray and gloomy, and the thunder was rumbling off in the distance, and we were all gathered on the 18th floor of the Hotel Penn, and in walked the great Richard Stallman. He had a hard disk platter for a hat, and he was wearing a big robe and beard, and all of a sudden lightning struck, and he took to the stage.
Really, lightning did strike, because the Hotel Pennsylvania on the 18th floor, there's just windows all around. You can see all of New York City. It's really an incredible place to just stand and watch a talk, but it was thundering and lightning. It was magnificent. I remember that weekend.
Ever so ominous.
And, yeah, and Richard Stallman's just there. I don't know if any of the thunder comes through on the talk. You probably see it on the DVD. You won't see it on the radio, but you can hear a bit of an excerpt. So we're going to play that. Remember, there's 17 other talks just like this. Not just like this, obviously, but the same quality and same basic theme, I guess, although all different types of people will be coming your way, people from Steve Wozniak to Jello Biafra to Aaron Magruder, Kevin Mitnick, so many people. But let's take a listen to a few minutes of Richard Stallman, the founder of the open software movement. Right? I got that right. Yeah, I don't want to get it wrong.
Free software, he'll be on open. Wait a minute.
He'll be on the phone to correct me. What did I say?
You said open software.
See, that's exactly the kind of thing that would drive him
wait
crazy.
Wait a minute.
Free software is what I meant to say.
No, tell me you knew that.
I know it now. I know it. My mouth didn't know it, but I know it. Yeah, not open software. See, I know the thing that he hates is to be affiliated with open source. Because free software and open source are there. If you get the talk, you will never make the mistake I just made.
That is a faux pas to end all faux pas, okay?
Let's hope it does. 631-632-9872. Here's Richard Stallman.
So I'm going to talk about free software and the hacker community. First of all, I better explain what free software means, since probably even a lot of you have not heard what it means. Free software means software that respects the user's freedom. There are four essential freedoms for the user of software, freedoms that every software user should always have. And these four freedoms make the definition of free software. Freedom zero is the freedom to run the program as you wish for any purpose. Freedom one is the freedom to study the source code and change it so that the program does what you wish. Freedom two is the freedom to help your neighbor. That's the freedom to make copies and distribute them to others, including publication. And freedom three is the freedom to contribute to your community and that's the freedom to distribute your modified versions, including publication, when you wish. None of these is an obligation. You're never required to do any of these things, but the point is you're free to do them if you wish. And that means the software respects your freedom and respects the social solidarity of your community. If you use a program that doesn't give you freedom number two, you're in danger of falling into a moral dilemma at any moment when your friend says, "Could I have a copy of that program?" At that moment, you will be forced to choose between two evils. One evil is to give your friend a copy and violate the license of the program. The other evil is to deny your friend a copy and comply with the license of the program. Now, once you're in the dilemma, you should choose the lesser evil, which is to give your friend a copy and violate the license of the program. This is the lesser evil because it's directed at somebody who has done wrong. We can suppose that your friend is a good friend, a helpful person, and ordinarily would deserve your cooperation. Whereas the developer of a proprietary program has deliberately attacked the social solidarity of your community. Now, that's wrong. So if you can't help doing wrong to somebody, better it should be a wrongdoer that you do it to. However, to be the lesser evil does not mean it's good. It's never good to make an agreement and not keep it. Now, it may be less bad than keeping the agreement, depending on what you agreed to do, but it's never good. And an unauthorized copy of a non-free program shares most of the ethical ills of an authorized copy. The only one it doesn't share is that of rewarding the perpetrator. So what you should really do once you have understood this dilemma is make sure you're never in it. Don't set foot on the path that's going to lead you someday to that dilemma. And there are two ways to avoid it. One is don't have any friends. That's the method suggested by the proprietary software developers. And the other method is don't use proprietary software. That's the method I prefer. That way, I don't have to worry about a moral dilemma if someone asks for a copy of a program I've got on my computer, because I will only accept free software onto it. If someone offers me an attractive, convenient program on the condition that I promise not to share it with you, I will say no, because that's the right thing to do. And I would rather forego the convenience and fun of that program than put myself in a situation where I'd be ashamed of what I had done. Thank you.
Amen indeed. That's Richard Stallman, an excerpt from his keynote address at, that was at Hope No. 6 in the year 2006 in New York City. And Kyle, you and I were both in the same room. We didn't know each other then. But
right. That was actually my very first Hope.
Was it?
Ever.
And what an amazing way to see New York City, too, just with the thunderstorm going and Richard Stallman speaking. One of the many magical moments that have come to you via Hackers on Planet Earth. Again, we're offering 18 of these talks, keynote addresses, and featured speakers from the Hackers on Planet Earth conferences. If you pledge $75, you'll get those. It's 20-plus DVDs. You'll get that. You also get an autographed copy of the brand-new Hacker Calendar, which really sums up the history of the hacker world. That's for a pledge of $75 to 631-632-9872. For a pledge of $125, you get all of that plus a audio DVD set of the entire Off the Hook audio archive. Off the Hook being the radio show that airs on WBAI on Wednesday nights, having to do with technology and hackers and things like that. And what a time capsule that is, because every year something else is going on. You actually hear technology changing as we go through the 1980s and 1990s and the 21st century. 631-632-9872. Of course, every pledge $25 and above will get the Hacker Calendar. It's a great deal. It's only being offered for the next half hour, though, and it's all to support this place where freedom of speech reigns supreme, where we have all kinds of different perspectives and ideas and thoughts and just creativity all the time. 631-632-9872. How can you not support this? How is this something that is not, I mean, I think the phone lines should be all lit right now, and I have to say, none of them are lit.
That's really scary because these kinds of stations are disappearing. There's less and less support. There's all kinds of different signals coming off on the FM dial. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of other sorts of media that you can look to, especially with the proliferation of the internet and that kind of stuff. But I gotta say, you know, when there's critical content, when there's stuff that people want to talk about, when you want to get your voice on the air, if you want to call in, you know, there's radio stations like this that support you and support the community and allow you to speak your mind, and they're here to serve you in an emergency. If you don't have any power, you're definitely not on the internet. You know,
Hurricane Irene, the station was here to help people out, and people were calling in. We were giving information of all sorts. Yeah, the radio really becomes a companion. I actually saw a really good documentary on the state of radio in the United States on, of all stations, Russia Today.
Oh, wow.
Because they'll take any opportunity to bash the United States, whether it's justified or not. In this case, it is justified because they took aim at radio in this country and how in some states, some poor state somewhere, there was a chemical spill, a really toxic chemical spill.
Oh, my God.
And all the radio stations that were supposedly local really weren't local. They were all having piped-in music and DJs, and there was nobody even on site. And these people, these poor people in this small town, in this state, wound up getting exposed to lethal doses of chemicals that some rail car was spewing forth because the radio station wasn't giving them any information, saying that there was a danger.
It was completely remote, in other words.
Totally remote. It was like a music box. That's all it was. And a commercial box. And that's not what community radio is supposed to be about. That's not how things should be. That's not what the magic of radio is.
Yeah, there's a lot of people behind the scenes here that make this look seamless. That, you know, people that come in that put programs together, that they get talent, they get DJs up late night, they get new music to air, a lot of feature shows, a lot of really good interviews, good conversation. There's people that come in here and do their best with what they can to keep the equipment in tip-top shape. We tend to talk about that quite a bit, and as we are used pretty regularly all week long, there's wear and tear, and there's stuff that we need to pay attention to, and all of those people behind the scenes, they put in extra hours, they put in a lot of work to make these programs happen right here for you on 90.1. So again, it's a big community here, and we're reaching out to you right now.
We have a call, 631-632-9872. We have a call, but we have more people in that room, and we can take certainly more calls, and every single person out there counts. It all adds up. Keeps us on the air, keeps us going, keeps us talking live about these things, about local events, national events, international events, interstellar events. Yes, tonight we told you about the space station being visible just 25 minutes after we get off the air. Where else would you hear something like that?
Yeah, you know, actually, I think it would be intergalactic.
Well, no, it's still in the same galaxy, isn't it?
Okay, so interstellar is really far away, though.
Well, yeah, you're right about that. Okay.
But there's programs we can actually talk about that, you know? And space is really important. And in any event, I was just saying that there's a whole team of people that work really hard here, and we need your calls, please.
631-632-9872. What Richard Stallman was saying is extremely interesting and relevant to a lot of the topics that we focus on, and that's something that you'll be able to see the entire talk plus 17 other talks if you call 631-632-9872 and pledge your support to the radio station.
E, did you even realize there was social solidarity with computers? I mean, maybe you did, but a lot of people don't realize that with computers, you know, the thing is, oh, it's like an appliance, like a blender, it's like a toaster, I just mm-hmm. turn it on and I use it, and then I turn it off and go do something else. There's social solidarity with computers.
Now, what does that mean exactly?
And software. That's amazing. It means that you care about your community. It means that mm-hmm. you believe in something, that you share, that you build something, that you work on things together, you go through a common experience, and you have rights. You treat one another with respect. That kind of being in it together, instead of being alienated, instead of being apart and isolated. And I don't know. It's a really amazing thing to think of software and to think of a machine in a way. But as we use more and more social things, and we get ever more connected with the speed of data and the amount of information that we're sharing with one another, I mean, these are important issues, and that's what this program's about. That's what you're about, and that's basically what it's about, to have a radio station, a place where you can transmit information and keep that dialogue of the community going.
So. Yeah, it's a theme that just keeps emerging in many different ways. And I think that's a beautiful thing, and I hope to see that continue for many, many years, decades, and beyond that, because how else? How else do you empower people to express themselves? What we've seen in history over the last few weeks with Wall Street and with the Arab Spring and all that, so much of it was because of technology. Technology would enable people to communicate amongst themselves, plan things, and basically just change things. That's going to continue. That's going to get bigger and bigger, and it's all dependent on how much people are willing to take under control themselves, to learn, to experiment, to try things differently, not just follow the rules. This is what hackers have been saying for a long, long time, that it's technology is for people to use, not to be used by the technology.
And you're participating now by listening to this station, by paying attention to what's going on with these movements, especially, as you said, in the last couple of weeks. A lot of people are frustrated. They think, how can I stand up against these big banks? How can I stop paying into a system that doesn't support me? Why do I feel like, the time just goes by and I don't really have, I can't get out of sort of this stuck cycle, whether it's financial or social, or you're going through a rough time and with employment and stuff like that. All of these things, just by listening, by paying close attention, you can get information, and that information, I can't tell you, how many times listening to your shows or radio in general, I've heard something, I've looked it up, and it's taken me off into a completely different direction in my own research and my own action. And that's what a radio station does. It's a catalyst, and it can give you the impetus to get out there and do something and create the kind of world you want to live in. And there's little things like, I guess you told me the 5th, apparently people are going to be they're going to be switching their bank accounts. Is that true?
Is it the 5th of November, that the Guy Fawkes Day? Yeah, there's a movement in this country to basically turn off those evil banks, the big commercial interstate banks that take advantage of people and take their homes and take their money in various ways. Just today, Bank of America announced they were dropping their plan to have a $5 a month debit card fee.
Fantastic.
Why? Because so many people reacted against it in a negative way. But it's not going to stop people from planning to move to smaller community banks,
right,
that don't take advantage of people in quite the same way, bringing the money back to the community. And I find it fascinating, Carl, because we were having these discussions weeks ago.
Yeah.
You were planning exactly that same thing before it became an organized event.
Yeah,
and
it's kind of funny. I was looking up, what is a bank? And, there's some really good Wikipedia searches you can do to kind of get a real sense for this stuff. And and then a couple weeks later, you shared that with me, and here we are now during this fund drive. We're sharing that information with you, and we want to empower you in the face of all the stuff that's going on, especially with this movement, with the way people feel about the economy and the job situation. We're able to share our opinions and what we've heard, and maybe you can correct us. Maybe you can get out there and take a leadership role and coordinate that in your community. But now you know that this is what we can do as a group of people. We can stick together and we can say, on this day, we're going to do something that's going to make a difference.
It's called National Bank Transfer Day, and yes, it is happening on the 5th of November. So please, folks, remember the 5th of November to switch your bank. If you have Chase or Bank of America or just one of those big evil banks at the center of the whole financial crisis that has been bailed out and hasn't given anything back, Consider if you don't want to keep your money under in a pillow in your bed or something like that, putting it in a bank that is either a credit union of some sort or just something local. I mean, I'm sure there's evil involved there as well, but at least you're sending a statement to the big boys, and you can do that. You have that power. You really do. And when we're united, when we talk to each other via various social networking outlets or on the radio or however else we choose to communicate,
all of it,
we realize how big this really is. And I think that's what's happened with Occupy Wall Street. People showed up to that, and we were one of the early people to come by and see what it would look like the first few days.
I remember you just wanted to go, there's people sleeping in a park. I was like, what?
Well, it was more than people just sleeping in a park. It was an occupation.
Yeah, you knew about it. I had no idea what it was. I was just walking by with you, and I was like, oh, wow, God, yeah, that looks rough.
You see the potential for something spreading.
Yeah.
And when more people see that potential, it really does spread more and more and more. And now we have Occupy movements all throughout the world, and it's not going anywhere. It's getting bigger. It's standing up to oppression, and you're seeing the oppression being unleashed in city to city, all around. In Oakland last week, having that ex-Marine getting shot in the head by a cop. With as of yet an undetermined object. It's amazing how when it's cops being investigated, you don't find out the facts.
Yeah.
But the fact that we all know is that he was in fact hit by something that the police fired at him. And not only that, in this video of this, the police fired into the crowd as they were trying to help this guy. And what a galvanizing movement that is to be able to show that happening, to be able to spread this information. And it's like what we've said in the hacker world many, many times when there have been clampdowns, whether it's the Digital Millennium Copyright Act or various other intimidation tactics by industry against individuals. We basically say every time they attack us, it just makes us stronger.
Mm.
And I think that's what we're seeing here with Occupy Wall Street, where every time the police do their thing, you have to wonder what possesses the people who give them these orders. They wind up looking really horrible, and the people wind up being galvanized, and more people join them as a result. Where is this going to go? We don't know where this is going to go. That's the thing. We don't know exactly what demands will be made. We just know people are angry, are discontent, are suffering, and they're not taking it anymore. They're standing up. They're being counted. And that's the first step. That is a very important first step. And I think once we realize how many of us there are and that we do have a way of expressing ourselves, then we move on to the next step of actually affecting change in some way, changing the process, changing the system. That's what it's all about. 631-632-9872. Add your voice to all of this. Help this radio station survive, because radio like this is a rare commodity. If you look around, you'll see. Maybe you're in a place that doesn't get us over the radio. Maybe you're in a place that gets us over the Internet. See how many stations there are, like WUSB, where it's free form, where people speak their minds, come in live, don't get satellite feeds from NPR or haven't gone religious or commercial or any of that. See how many stations are left in your community. Here, I know you can count them on one hand, less actually. They've been taken over one by one for one reason or another, and lots of times it's because they can't afford to stay on the air. It's expensive to keep equipment running and to pay the bills. I think it's so worth it, though. We can do all this on the Internet. We can broadcast our thoughts and feelings on the Internet. It's not the same thing. It never will be the same thing as broadcasting on an actual transmitter. And ask yourself, how many commercial radio stations are being given to the people to use? None. And the reason for that is because those guys know radio is a very valuable commodity. It's something precious that people always look towards for information. Not that those folks are giving information in any sense, but they see it as a business. They see it as something of value. We see it as something of value, too. Not a business, but something that is essential for communication, freedom of speech, change, exchange of ideas, that kind of thing. 631-632-9872. I see we have one phone call on the line. I hope we see three phone calls on the line. Kyle, am I dreaming? Is that something that is just not possible in this place?
I think people are out there. I believe the Internet's working. I was on the Internet earlier today, so I'm fairly certain the Internet's still there. So if you're streaming at WUSB.FM, please pick up the phone and give us a call. What's the number again? E, could you
It's area code 631-632-9872. And what that does is that spells out WUSB. It's 631-632-WUSB on your phone there.
And I'll leap up and leave the room. If I can get another caller or two, I will be happy to fill out a form and hook you up with whatever package you're interested in. We have a couple of them. We're offering the calendar for pledges above what level?
$25. Yeah,
and
autographed copy. Autographed by Kyle, myself,
I will sign
and the other photographer, Dave.
Yes, Dave's going to be signing them too.
$75, you get all the talks, all 18 talks. Some of them take up more than one DVD.
These are videos of keynote speakers from every single Hope conference that has been put on in New York City at the Hotel Pennsylvania. We're really excited about that. And for the $125 level, what do we have?
We have all of that. We have the calendar, we have the 18 talks on DVD, and we have a full archive of the Hacker Radio Show Off the Hook.
Wow.
From 1988 to the end of 2010. And that's another 20-plus DVDs of audio in full high-fidelity sound. But we only have 18 minutes left, so we need those phone calls to start coming in. 631-632-9872. I do have another excerpt I'd like to play from the Hope conferences, just to give you an idea of the variety of talks that we have. We mentioned we have Steve Wozniak in there. We've got Jello Biafra. We've got Steve Rombaum, who we played last week, a private eye extraordinaire, who tells all about how you give away your privacy every single day, ways maybe you can protect yourself against this kind of thing. Aaron Magruder does the comic Boondocks. Brock Meeks, Jello Biafra, I think I mentioned. Steve Levy wrote the book Hackers. Kevin Mitnick, Adam Savage, all kinds of luminaries in the hacker world, outside the hacker world, but all speaking to these ideas, thoughts, and things of creativity. It's all there. It's incredible. Mind-boggling. My mind is boggling right now. But just remember, the reason to call is not to get a good deal on DVDs, which you would be doing. It's to support free speech. It's to support freedom of ideas. You learned about the space station in the sky tonight, which, yes, you can see if you just go outside 25 minutes after the radio program and look up. You'll see it. It's the most incredible thing ever. You've heard about the National Bank Transfer Day on November 5th. All kinds of bits of information that you don't hear in the mass media.
Yeah, we touch on all kinds of different issues. You know, one thing, I remember a program we did a while ago on trains and how important that is. You know,
yes.
A lot of people are out of jobs right now. There's some really incredible ideas for how we can get infrastructure going in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see more trains. You know, we could spend three shows talking about just trains. I mean, it's really incredible the opportunity to call or to talk on the station and share our ideas and listen to your calls when we do take them. But tonight we're asking you to call in and pledge whatever you can. It doesn't have to be a huge amount. It all adds up. It could be $10, could be $15. Just budget that in. Whatever you're working with, you know, we can get like 3, 4, 5 of those people, and we're well on our way to $50 or $100. So
I would be happy just to see one more phone light up. 631-632-9872. It would make me. I have not smiled in 3 days. Yeah, you were talking about that before. I've been glum. I don't know why. I just have this like straight line, you know, where my mouth is, and it doesn't, you know, I'm not really sad, I'm not really happy. I just need something to tip the balance, tip the scale a little bit. And seeing that light blink, and knowing it's not just somebody making the light blink, but somebody calling in to pledge to the radio station and keep us going, that would make me smile. It might hurt a little bit because I haven't smiled in so long. But if I were to do that, I think it would be a good step for me. So
yep.
Please, if you want to make me, you know, in a better frame of mind, 631-632-9872.
I'm worried you have atrophy. I don't think you could actually. I'm worried that the muscles are weakened and you can't
actually
smile.
That does happen. Smile muscles. There's more muscles used to smile than to run a marathon. Did you know that?
Oh, my God.
I read that somewhere.
You heard it here first, people.
Yeah, no, I heard it somewhere else. But,
oh, you did? Well,
I said it here first.
Sure.
631-632-9872. Still waiting for that call to come in. But let's go into an excerpt from a talk from the last Hope, which was 2008. It wasn't actually the last Hope, because the next Hope was the most recent one. I'm not even going to get into that here. But this was a talk that was supposed to have been given by Julian Assange. However, everything hit the fan right before the conference.
Oh, man.
We're always right in the middle of it.
This was great.
In this particular case, we had Jacob Applebaum, also of WikiLeaks, give the talk for standing in for Julian. And some of the issues addressed here, I think, are really apropos as well. It's, again, one of 18 talks that you will get for a pledge of $75 to 631-632-9872. And you'll also get the hacker calendar, pledge of $125. You get all of that plus 20-plus years of Off the Hook on DVD, the hacker radio show. 631-632-9872. Let's take a listen to Jacob.
Hello to all my friends and fans in domestic and international surveillance. I'm here today because I believe that we can make a better world. Julian, unfortunately, can't make it because we don't live in that better world right now, because we haven't yet made it. I wanted to make a little declaration for the federal agents that are standing in the back of the room and the ones that are standing in the front of the room, and to be very clear about this. I have on me, in my pocket, some money, the Bill of Rights, and a driver's license. And that's it. I have no computer system, I have no telephone, I have no keys, no access to anything. There's absolutely no reason that you should arrest me or bother me. And just in case you were wondering, I'm an American, born and raised, who is unhappy. I'm unhappy with how things are going. I've dedicated my life to helping other people who need help in general, and specifically I work with human rights activists. I work with people who care about a woman's right to choose, the ability to freely vote. I work with people who are working for some kind of social change that is positive in this world. This is extremely important to me, and I don't expect all of you to do this as well, but I expect you to support me, and I expect you to support the activities that take place that are in support of these things. To quote from Tron, I fight for the user. I've done some other things. They're not really that important, but they're in line with what I believe WikiLeaks is in line with. I want to teach people. I want people to learn. I want them to collaborate. I want them to cooperate. And I want them to be able to speak freely without fear of retribution. That's why I work on NoiseBridge, and that's why I work on Tor. I think that if you can, you should organize. You should organize locally in order to make things like this possible. You should help people in whatever way that it is possible. You should also write free software if you have the opportunity, because it is only then that people will be able to trust what you do. There are people whose lives depend on software the hacker community writes. It's kind of a scary thing to think of that, considering some of the quality, but in general, it's extremely important. So you should consider the fact that it's not just about politics. And I am here speaking on behalf of WikiLeaks. I am not here as a representative of the Tor Project who employs me. I'm sure that they probably would not be too unhappy with me speaking here right now, but they certainly didn't know about it before this moment. So I believe that we are complicit in crimes against humanity when we know about them and when we don't stop them. I think that it is quite clear to me that every single person in this room has in some way contributed to the war in Iraq and the war in Afghanistan. And I wonder how you all feel about knowing that you are the ones, I am the one, that has funded every bullet that has shot a child, and every woman who has to come home to a family that has been decimated by troops, where there is no justice, where people don't have recourse of any kind whatsoever, where the standard operating procedure is for someone to take a 50-caliber machine gun and shoot across the engine block and kill the driver. I'm not sure that that's the world I want to live in, and I'm not sure that that's the world I want to fund. I'm pretty sure it's not. How about you guys? What do you think? Is that what you want? That's good. So what are you doing to change it? I guess it depends if you're Branson or not. I grew up listening to how terrible things were in the world before. And the neoconservative lie, and it is a lie, is that when the Berlin Wall fell, history ended. And we were in a new world of prosperity with no problems anymore. But actually, that's not the case. We all live in a mythology. And the mythology that we're living in is that America does no harm. And that is simply not true. I believe that, in general, Americans are very good and they want to do the right thing. And I think that's why none of you are rushing the stage and trying to hurt me right now. But we condemn the past while funding the future that we would condemn if it were our past. It doesn't really make sense. So I want to quote from one of my personal heroes. I was going to give you a quote from my friend Daniel Ellsberg, but I think that Moxie Marlin Spike fits with this crowd a little more. Right? He's a fantastic fellow, and he really has inspired me. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for him. He helped me to engage with the world in a way that I couldn't previously understand. And he says, "What about the truth has helped you?" And I always give him countless examples. And so what I want to hear from people is on a regular basis how the truth has helped them. We have to dismiss with the cynicism. Sincerity is the new black. So tell me, has the truth helped you? Write about this. Publish it. Tell people how it has helped you. Show that when you learn new things, that they have affected you in some way, and that you have affected other people, that some good ripples out in your network as a result of knowing things. This is extremely important, considering the fact that we teach you things, we tell you things, and we give you documents. We need people to do analysis on those documents, so you guys can be the ones that can actually say how truth has helped you. And I'll tell you why. There are some people, I would say, in the hacker community that quite simply just don't believe this statement. But this is from the winner of the Nobel Peace Prize in 1970. He says, "And mankind's sole salvation lies in everyone making everything his business, in the people of the East being vitally concerned with what is thought in the West, the people of the West vitally concerned with what goes on in the East." That is our job. When you ignore the injustices of the world, you are a part of the problem. There is no question about that. And it is certainly the case that when you fund it, you are the problem.
We're going to have to fade that down at this point, regretfully, because we're out of time, almost out of time. And this is your last chance to give us a call and receive that talk, the video of that talk, with Jacob Applebaum from WikiLeaks at the Last Hope Conference in 2008, plus 17 other talks for a pledge of $75, and the Hacker Calendar, and even more than that, a full audio archive of Off the Hook for a pledge of $125. Phone number 631-632-9872. We'll be off the air in just about 5 minutes, so we'd like to see some calls come in our last moments here. And Kyle, these are your last moments here for a little while. As you're going back to the West Coast,
yes,
to basically water the plants and do whatever else.
The Pacific Northwest beckons. I will be tending to some things, doing a lot of printing and developing from some of the photography that I've done, and continuing to work on all the things that you and I have been doing, and that are going on in the community. And I'll be watching the Occupy movement and doing all of my other sustainable and green things, and that's pretty exciting. But certainly I'll be back.
Mm-hmm. And so we'll hear from you as far as Occupy Seattle, what that's all about, all kinds of other things too. But in order to continue doing this kind of thing, having an outlet where we can speak our minds and share our experiences, it involves support. It involves people pitching in and becoming part of the community. 631-632-9872. Please add your voice to the people who have called already, and invest in this amazing place that makes it possible in the first place to speak and communicate and all that. Pretty much out of time, but again, the phone number is 631-632-9872. We won't be here next week. We will be back in a couple of weeks, and Kyle, maybe you'll be on the phone then or something. We'll have
sure
to see. And
hopefully, gladly.
We'll have good news, updates of all sorts.
Yeah.
And, of course, I believe Off the Hook is on the air tomorrow. Well, we weren't sure if we were going to be on the air, but we are going to be on the air doing all kinds of Occupy Wall Street specials, as well as things that have been going on in the hacker world in the last few weeks. Last words, Kyle, before we go into the outro.
Yeah, well, good night, everyone, and do good things.
Like call 631-632-9872?
Okay, I'll try something else. make the world... No, this is terrible. No, I just want to encourage people, you know, be in action and create the world you want to live in.
Absolutely.
Call.
631-632-9872. We'll see you next... No, we won't see you next week. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
And don't forget, ISS.
Oh, that's right, yes, at 7:23, Those of you in Long Island, you'll see it. Northwest sky, it'll be up for exactly 3 minutes, setting in the north-northeast. Remember, you heard that from us. Brightest object in the sky, the space station, from 7:23 p.m. until 7:26 p.m. Take a look in the cloudless sky. And elsewhere in the country, too, you should be able to see it. Go to heavens-above.com. See you next time. Oh, and don't forget to drop your bank on November 5th. Switch to somebody smaller, more community-minded. Good night.